Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. God's good, isn't He?
Amen.
I'm so thankful to be a child of God. We got the best life. You know that? We've got the best life. No one in this world that doesn't know Jesus can have a better life than we do. Praise the Lord. We're in the right place this evening. You know this, but I have to say it anyways. The Lord encourages me to say it, and so I'm not going to not say it. You have the best pastors around, too.
Amen.
You know, your pastors are such dear people. I was just thinking about them on the way up, and one of my favorite things about them is how stable they are. You know, there's a lot of pastors out there that are just, they love the Lord, but they may not be grounded well. They may be, you know, a little wishy-washy, and it's good to get excited about things. It's good to, you know, Brother Hagin said it's better to have a little wildfire than no fire at all, but you have very stable pastors. You have pastors that seek after the Word and the Spirit, and of course, they love you with all their heart. They've given their lives for you. Just a reminder, of course, to, you know, wherever I go, I want to magnify the pastor in that place because he's the gift to that church. He's the gift to this body. And you know this stuff, but it's good for us to be reminded of it. You know, I encourage you just to bless them as much as you can. I'm sure you do already. It's Wednesday night crew. I see all the familiar faces out here. But, you know, always just refresh ourselves on these things and find the scriptures. Sometimes we just have to remind ourselves of them because, you know, familiarity can breed a lack of honor. It can, and you know, in a place where we are a close-knit family like this, South Dayton, New York, it can be real easy to, in small towns where you maybe get a lot of time with your pastor on the weekend and the services, you get to know them a little bit, it's easy to let a lack of honor come into that relationship, and that'll rob from you what God has for you in that relationship. So I just encourage you, always remember to honor them, you know, financially bless them. You know, we don't do it to magnify them as hero worship or anything, but as gifts to this church and showing God we're thankful for them. It'll unpop the cork in your life. Just unpop it. If you've never gone down that road before, I encourage you to and just watch what God does for you on the other side of it. Amen? He said in 1 Samuel 2:30, "They that honor me, I will honor." And so if we want God's honor, we ought to honor him and his things. And his preachers are his things. Praise the Lord. So you know all this stuff. I'm just telling you so you can tell your friends. How about that? Sound good? All right. Praise the Lord. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles, if you have them, to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. I'm going to start my timer here. Praise the Lord. Thankful for the Word of God. We'd be lost without it. It's a map for us down here. Tonight I want to talk about joy. Talk about the joy of faith, about the joy of living this life as believers. You know, too many Christians out there got a sad and forlorn look on their face. We ought to be the ones with the biggest smile wherever we go. So we'll see some things in Scripture and put us in remembrance of these things and make sure we're in the right place and the right mindset and get our faith hooked up with it, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your Word tonight. We thank you that it's a help to us. Lord, we thank you that as we hear the Word, we're challenged maybe, but we grow from it on the other side. And so, Lord, I just give myself to you tonight. Whatever you want said, may it be said. Whatever you want done, may it be done. Lord, this is your service. It's not mine. And I thank you, Lord, for utterance and boldness tonight as I minister. I thank you for the Scriptures being revealed to us for change and help in our lives. And Lord, we just thank you so much for this place. And we lift up Pastor Mike and Pastor Courtney to you, Lord. We thank you for, Lord, the blessing that they are to this place. We just thank you that they'll have wisdom and revelation and receive everything from you that you have for them and for this ministry. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. In James chapter 1 and verse 2, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." Verse 3, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." You know, there's a lot in these scriptures. We're going to camp out here a little bit tonight and see some different truths that come out of these. But in verse 2 there, it says, count it all joy. So we're talking about joy tonight. You know, I don't know if you've ever been through a trial, a test. Have you ever been through a trial or a test? I dare say all of us have. Is it joyful?
No.
I don't necessarily enjoy it. I don't wake up in the morning and say, gosh, I hope I get a trial today. I sure hope that I get trouble and temptation coming my way today. No, I don't look forward to it. But the Bible says we're going to go through it. And so if we know that we're going to go through it, we ought to go through it the right way. Because there's a right way and a wrong way to do everything. We can be the right and the wrong way about our finances. We can be the right and the wrong way about our prayer life, about our devotional time. There's always a right and a wrong way, and we always want to be on the right side of things. So when it comes to going through trials and temptations, we ought to want to do it right. And that doesn't mean that it's going to be a joy for us to go through these things, but it's important that we know that we have to be joyful when we go through them. But aren't you thankful that God doesn't just point his finger to us and say, do this, and walks away? He tells us how to do it. He gives us instruction when he gives us commandments. And so we're going to see in the Word tonight the instructions for how to do these things so that when we do go through those trials and temptations, whatever they may be, we can stay joyful because he tells us how to be joyful in them. The New Living Translation says, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Consider it an opportunity for great joy. And we're going to build on some things here, but if I consider something an opportunity for great joy, that means that the next time a trial comes my way, I ought to get excited about it. I ought to say, ooh, this is an opportunity, right? If you get excited at an opportunity for something, say an investment comes along and somebody has a great proposal for you and it looks like an outstanding opportunity for increase for you naturally, financially. Do you get, No, you get excited about it, right? You count that joy. Hey, this is a chance. This is an opportunity for me. Well, next time a trial comes your way, this says count it an opportunity. Get just as excited about it. Say, whoa, a trial. Hey, glory to God. I'm getting through this. I'm going to the other side. Yeah. It's an opportunity for us to choose joy, an opportunity for us to walk in faith in that situation. You know, joy, it's not an emotion. It's a choice. Right? The world would look at joy as an emotion. If I'm feeling joyful, that means I must be joyful. No, Christians, we got to choose to be joyful. There's times that we may get excited about things, but excitement isn't necessarily the Holy Ghost. Excitement isn't necessarily joy. Excitement is just excitement, and it's good. It has its place and purpose, but that's not the fruit of the Spirit like joy is. Joy is deeper than just getting excited about something. It's an overall contentment with everything that we're going through. That, you know, Jesus, when he was on the boat, in the storm, he was in peace, but I guarantee you he was in joy too. As he's laying there, because he didn't get up and it didn't say he was sad, he was crying, anything like that. He rebuked the disciples for their unbelief. But at the same time, when he's laying there enjoying this, it's a peace and an enjoyment in life. If we could say it like this, peace is a place of the Spirit and joy is a characteristic of that place. You know, when I go into my house is a place. But say inside my house, I have rooms, right? Living room. There's my living room. That's a place in my house. If we could have the house of peace that we enter into as Christians, we're always living in that peace, or we ought to be anyways. There's a lot of Christians standing outside in the rain when they ought to be in their house enjoying it. But if we ought to live in that place of peace, then when I'm walking around in my peace house, I go in the living room, the joy living room, the joy room. It's just a place in there that we go into, that we camp in. And we can't, you know, when we try to look at things and wait for the emotions to come to us to enjoy them, we'll never get to that point. You know, look at Hollywood. Their definition, just take love, for example, right? Everybody has a different definition of love out there. Hollywood has its own definition of love. I wouldn't even use the love word when I describe what they call love. I'd use a different L word. It starts with L and ends in ust. That's about all they got going for them. But they think that's love, and so they think that when, okay, I'm in love with someone, this is great, this is wonderful, well, suddenly I don't feel like I'm in love anymore. Well, welcome to more than a month of marriage, right? You've been married more, you might not feel like you're necessarily in love anymore after that point, but that's the point where you got to choose love, right? If you've been married for any length of time, you know that. You know there comes a point where I have to choose this. Don't look at me all high and mighty like you've never been down there before. It comes a point in marriage where you have to say, well, all right, I'm in this. Praise the Lord. I love you. Glory to God. I love you. And what I have, I will say. What I say, I have. Glory to God. I love you. And you just keep saying it, and you'll see it. But so many times in the world, when they don't have these feelings, they think, well, then it's not possible to have this. No, as Christians, we ought to know that joy is a choice for us. And that we say, I choose to be in joy in this situation. That no matter what I'm going through, I choose to be joyful. I choose to keep a smile on my face. I choose that the world isn't going to know what I'm going through because of my face. Did you know your face is a window? It just tells everybody what's going on inside of you. You know, my wife tries to help me with this. I'd say she helps me, but she really tries to help me. I got a long way to go. My face, and this is a terrible thing to have, I could never play poker because my face hides nothing. I, you know, My friends tell me this too, that they could say something to me and I try and keep it. I try and, you know, that's great, brother. Yeah. And then suddenly it just all comes out like that. It just flies out what I'm really thinking. So of course I need to renew my mind to think more like Jesus and less like what my face shows that I'm actually thinking about something. But anybody that knows me knows that's the case. But our face is the window to what's inside of us. It shows people that that's what we're going through. But as Christians, we make a choice. We make a choice to be in joy. We make a choice to keep that smile on at all times. And we'll see in the scriptures how our choice to be in joy really could mean people's salvation. You choosing to walk through Walmart with a smile when you're going through hell could keep somebody from going to hell. Did you know that? Because if they know what you're going through, they're going to look at you and say, wow, I know what's going on with them. How are they still smiling? And you've got an opportunity to tell them about Jesus. An opportunity to tell them, well, I can be like this because of God. You know, because it, sure, maybe things are hard right now, but God, that's my God. So your smile, your choice to be in joy could mean somebody's eternity. It's something exciting. It's pressure, but it's exciting, isn't it? It's an opportunity for us. We walk by faith and not by sight. You know, we could say it like this. Putting on joy is like getting dressed. You know, thankfully, we all chose to get dressed for service tonight, didn't we? Yeah, we all chose to put some clothes on and come to church this evening. You know, maybe you're walking around your house in your skivvies and you said, well, I got to go to church tonight. And so you choose to put on your suit, put on your clothes, come to church this evening. And everyone said, praise the Lord and thank God for it. But somebody, if you'd come to church in your skivvies, people would have noticed. Somebody might have picked up on it, right? They might have thought, hey, he's not wearing any clothes. What's going on here? I'm going somewhere with this. Just work with me, all right? Putting on joy is the same way. So many times we're walking through life and we don't have any joy on us. We've got nothing on us, and people are saying, wow, what's wrong with them? You'd walk through public without clothes on, people think you're nuts. But so many times Christians walk through life without joy, thinking that's normal. That's not normal. A Christian ought to walk through life with joy on them. And it's unacceptable not to, really. It's not okay to walk through public without clothes on. It's not okay for a Christian to walk through life without joy on. We put it on, whether we want to or not. You know, my son Andrew, he's three, so it's not too embarrassing for him yet. The first thing he does when he gets home, pants come off. It's just, that's what he does. He's a little man. He just runs around the house. He keeps his skivvies on. Don't worry. But he just, you know, we have to say, Andrew, where are your pants? I took them off. And then he runs through the house all excited about it. Okay, we're in our home. We can't go in public like that. It would be unacceptable for him to. You know, he's a child, and maybe so he's learning these things. But as adults, we know that's unacceptable. And so as Christians, it's unacceptable for us to walk through life without choosing to put joy on. So we just make that choice. We get up in the morning. I'm going to put joy on today. I'm going to get excited about these things, that whatever comes my way, I'm choosing joy. Why? Because we know the end from the beginning. We know that no matter what we go through, we win. We know that no matter what we go through, Jesus is on our side and that we'll see victory in that. You know, when it says count it all joy, another translation says consider it joy. We could almost like say it like this, force it if you have to. Force the joy to be on you. You may say, is that right? Yeah, that's absolutely right. That's faith. We've got to put on faith. Putting on faith is a choice for us. And so if joy is a part of faith, then joy is a choice for us as well. So we just say, ha, 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 I'm going to be happy right now. I'm joyful. Can't you see I'm joyful? And you may start off, and yeah, it's funny to us, but we've all been there before. We've all been at the spot where we have to choose to be joyful about something. But then when we start getting into it, yeah, I'm joyful. I'm joyful. I'm joyful. I'm joyful. Hey, I'm joyful. And suddenly it starts rising up in us. Hey, there's that joy. I knew it was in there somewhere. Come out here, joy. I want to play with you a little bit. Let's do something. And you get excited about the things of God because you know that they're the key to victory in the situation. And when we keep our eyes on Him and not the situation, it's easier to walk in that joy. It's easier to walk in where He has for us. You know, there was last December, we were in a mentoring service in the Fredonia Church with Pastor Michael. And I got corrected about something, and I'm glad for it because it helps. Correction helps us on the other side. Right, we end up higher when we get corrected about something. So I'm not bitter about it, but I'm sharing it with you because maybe it'll help you. I don't know. It helped me. it hurt. I'm not going to lie. It did hurt a little bit, but it helped me on the other side of it. In services, Pastor Michael was talking about people and the expression on their faces. And he was giving examples of how you can tell when someone's going through something during a service because of what's on their face. You can tell if they're receiving. You can tell if they're going through hell. You can tell if they're excited about the Word of God. You can tell everything about them by what's on their face. And then he pointed at me and he said, like you, Rev. And I said, oh, what about me? Thinking, you know, something great and wonderful. Oh, yeah, you're great. He said, you're a distraction to me in service because your face is so down all the time. And I said, I put it on real quick for him. I chose to be joyful in that situation. But I wanted to be, of course, I want to be a blessing to my pastor. But there's more truth in that too. You know, in the parable of the sower, it talks about that they that receive the word have to receive the word with joy. And I noticed that I was going through stuff. Everybody goes through stuff. I was going through stuff. And it was taking my thought life. And thoughts are coming, thoughts are coming, thoughts are coming. And so I'm rebuking them, but that doesn't stop them from coming. You know, my attention was on that, on the rebuke, and not necessarily in the service where it ought to have been, where my help was. Don't you notice the thoughts will come in church? You know, I don't know if I've said this here before. I said it in Fredonia, and people looked at me like, but did you ever watch those movies when you were younger where the devil can't set foot in church? I've never been in that church. Because I've been, maybe you haven't. Okay, I'm getting faces like, I know what you're thinking by what's on your face. But, okay, so there's these movies where, maybe the movies I watched back then anyways, but I don't watch them anymore. But, you know, like the ghost movies and the possession movies and stuff like that, the horror movies. And they would always run to the church if the devil was after them because the devil couldn't go in the church. I've never been in that church. I get thoughts just as much in service, if not more. Why? Because he knows that that's where my help is at. He knows that what's coming from the pulpit is exactly where my help's going to be. And so the barrage is going to be here just as much as it is anywhere else, if not more. And I let my guard down and I let those thoughts start to come in and just boom, boom, boom. And so, of course, my face showed that. Pastor Michael picked up on it and I wasn't being a pull to him in the service like I wanted to be a help to him. So after that, you know, I got in the next service and I said, all right, this is it. I'm gonna smile. I'm just going to be happy about it. This is exciting for me. So I got up there in my seat, and Pastor started preaching, and I kid you not, he said, turn in your Bibles, and instantly the thoughts. I mean, just boom, 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 boom. And I said, no. And I looked, and I smiled, and I shot, you know, I was, amen, Pastor, glory to God, Pastor. And I put it on over the top so thick. So, I mean, that was like Alfredo sauce, you know. I mean, it's chunky, it's cheesy, it's everything. It's good and it's delicious. And I'm just throwing it on there as heavy as I can. But I'll tell you what, after about 5 minutes, I didn't have to put it on anymore. It just came. It was about a little bit where I had to step out there in faith. And then suddenly, about 15 minutes later, I realized, wow, this was easy. I'm actually doing this now. It wasn't an act of faith for me anymore. We have to choose to put on joy. We have to choose that no matter what we're going through, there's nothing. Because if we start magnifying the situation more than the joy we have because of the victory, we stop magnifying Jesus. Jesus is our victory. And so no matter what we're going through, we win. And so if it's easy to know that you win at the end of the game, you just keep that smile on the whole time. You know, I'm not a sports guy, but I imagine that if I went into a sports game knowing that the team that I was rooting for was going to win, I'd be just as excited as anything. I'd know, hey, they're going to win. This is great. I'm just going to sit back, enjoy the game. This is great. This is enjoyable. Why? Because I know the end. We're Christians. We know the end. We win. Every time we win. If we keep our eyes on Him, and so we choose joy by an act of faith. We choose that joy. You know, Galatians chapter 5, go ahead and turn there. Galatians 5 and verse 22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit, it is love and joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And that first verse though, where it says peace and joy, this fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. You may say, well, Reverend Scott, if joy is a fruit of the Spirit, then I don't have to choose it. Then it's just going to come to me. Well, no, that's not what it says. It says it's a fruit of the Spirit. You know, in my backyard, I've got raspberry bushes. They're fruit growing on a bush, but I can choose not to pick them. I can choose not to go out in my backyard and take those raspberries off the bushes. And if I don't, I'm not going to have fresh raspberries on my Honey Nut Cheerios in the morning the next day. I love fresh raspberries on Honey Nut Cheerios in the morning. When I'm not eating the eggs and bacon, if you remember from last time, I like eating eggs and bacon too. But sometimes it's just those fresh raspberries. They go on the cereal. We're not going to camp here, but it's good. We're going to move on. But I have to choose to go out there. You know, I could sit in that back window and look at those raspberry bushes and say, boy, those look good. Look how good those look. I'd sure like to have one of those raspberries. It'd be wonderful, wouldn't it, if I could just enjoy one of those raspberries right now? Katie, come here. Look at the raspberries. Just look at those things. They're so delicious. Oh, look at, they're perfect. Yeah, that's great. And then I go about my day. I'm never going to enjoy the fruit of the raspberry. There's so many Christians looking at joy. Wow, that'd be great if I could have that. They see joy on other believers. That, man, that'd be wonderful if I could enjoy that. It's yours. All you have to do is go pick it. Go take it, just like you're taking the raspberries. Go take joy. Believe joy. Choose joy. That no matter what it is we're going through, we choose to walk in the joy of the situation because God said we have to. He said we ought to. If it's a fruit of the Spirit, we have to live in the Spirit to get it, to take advantage of it. Earlier in chapter 5 here, in verse 16, it says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh." So another way we could say that is walk in the Spirit and you will fulfill the lust of the Spirit, right? That if I walk in the Spirit, the benefits of being in the Spirit will be mine. They'll be mine to partake of. And so if one of those is joy, then I'll easily walk into joy if I just walk in the Spirit. How do we walk in the Spirit? We be led by the Spirit of God. Always conscious of the Holy Ghost. Wherever He leads us and guides us is going to be into truth and joy. Wherever he takes us is going to be into truth, and where there's truth, there's joy with it. There may be times that, you know, we get led into situations that prove our faith or push us to the other side of it, but God's never going to put us through something to hurt us. It's always to help us. It's always to get us to something better on the other side of it. And we always get to the other side. You know, as a Christian, you belong in the Spirit just like a fish belongs in the water. If you see a fish out of water, it's going to be real hard for that fish to find joy. It's going to be real hard for that fish to find contentment. Have you ever seen a fish out of water enjoying life, sunbathing on the sidewalk? They're enjoying death sunbathing on the sidewalk, but they're not actually, I've never seen a fish out of water enjoying life very much. A Christian out of the Spirit, it's impossible for you to enjoy life at that point. You can't do it. You can't do it because you're not where you belong. A Christian belongs in the Spirit. And so we seek God, we follow after Him, we live life according to Scripture, and we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit so that we can live in the Spirit. And then for that fish, once he's in the water, boop, 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 he just goes about his day, goes about his business, happy as a fish, or a clam. Clams have to be in the water too. Or on my grill. One place or the other, I like them both. But as Christians, we stay in the Spirit. You know, I'll give you an example. It's easy to stay in joy when we follow the Spirit of God because He'll lead us into situations that make it easier to choose joy. What do I mean? Well, this past year, I flew to California with Pastor Michael, and coming back from California, I've always got to be led on things, right? Wherever we go, there's never a time where I'm not seeking the Holy Ghost and being led about something, especially when I'm about to fly. I just want to make sure, you know, Lord, this plane okay? Yeah, you're good. Okay, we're going to go then, you know? Just always being conscious of it. But as I was coming back from California with Pastor, we were in the airport, and Pastor wanted to get something. And of course, I wanted to bless him and be a blessing to him. And so I went and bought that thing for him. And as I was about to buy it, and it wasn't a large amount of money. You know, it was less than $100, but it was just something that I wanted to do to bless him. But the Lord had been dealing with me lately about my finances and just being more sensitive to Him on, you know, what I'm spending, what I'm not spending, because you can overgive, you know that. You can give yourself right into nothing if you just keep giving and giving and giving, not being led by the Spirit of God. Being led is the most important part of giving, because God will lead us into prosperity. He'll lead us into the right places to sow. You know, you could be, I don't know any farmers that just walk through, just throwing their seed out, not thinking twice about wherever it's landing. No, they're very methodical about how they do it, about how they plant it, because they want to get the most out of their harvest. As Christians, we've got to be the same way. We've got to make sure that where we're planting our seeds are according to the plan of the farmer, God, and He'll know the right places to plant to make sure we're getting the best harvests in our life. Not that my pastor's not the right place to plant, but he was teaching me something through this. And so as I was about to buy this, I took my wallet out, and I had a check. I had a check on buying that. And if you don't know what a check is, it's when you get a little on the inside and you just know, okay, that's the Spirit telling me not to do this thing. And as I was about to, you know, I take my wallet out and I get a check and I said, what? I'm blessing my pastor. How could this be wrong, Lord? I knew it was a check. I knew clear as day. As much as I knew my name, I knew I wasn't supposed to do that. But I said, nah, you know, I must have had too much coffee on the plane or something and I'm missing it. I wasn't, you know, but I thought, okay, I'm going to do it. And so I'm shaking, swiping my credit card because I know I might as well just gone out and cuss somebody out. That's how bad it is when you disobey the leading of the Spirit of God. It's the same thing. You're going to do one thing, you might as well do the other thing. And so I'm doing this, and I'm paying for it. And the second I swiped it, it just, whoa-boo. I mean, like, just my heart dropped. I knew that I'd done the wrong thing. But I'm thinking, I'm reasoning in my mind, well, no, I blessed my man of God. This is good. This is great. This is wonderful. And I said, I believe for a harvest on that seed. And I could hardly get the words out because I knew that they weren't, you know, there wasn't going to be any harvest on that seed because it was not a seed I was supposed to sow. So anyways, I'm walking through the airport with him. He says, thank you. He has no idea any of this is going on. I'm keeping a smile on my face. And so I'm walking through the airport and about 5 minutes later, I get a call from my wife. And we're in Minnesota at this time. It was a layover in between. I get a call from my wife. She says, hey, I need you to hook up your faith with me. And I said, what's on? What's going on? She said, well, two of the kids just threw up and one of them had a seizure. Just like that. They were sitting there watching a movie and then suddenly, boom, just like that, that happened. And I said, okay, I will. And I hung up. And I chose to be in joy, first of all, because fear can set in, you know, seizures, throwing up, none of that stuff. Is anything you want to hear about your kids? Especially not just boom, but of course, I instantly knew what it was. It was the fruit of my disobedience. I'd opened the door because I disobeyed the leading of the Spirit of God. So I had to choose joy in a situation where I wouldn't have even been in that situation if I'd stayed in the Spirit. You see, that's why if joy is a fruit of the Spirit, then when we follow Him and stay in the Spirit, stay following Him, we won't have to be in situations where we have to work hard to choose joy. So I chose joy in that situation. And I'll let you know the end of it, that I got off the phone with her. I went to the bathroom and repented before the Lord for disobeying the leading of the Holy Spirit. And then I took authority over the spirits going against my kids. She called me back in 5 minutes and said, everybody's fine. They're running around happy as clams. It was easy as that. Why? Because I followed the Spirit. I got back in line with the Spirit, I should say. But I never would have been in a situation of having to choose joy if I'd stayed in line with the Spirit in the first place. So as Christians, for us to be in the Spirit, joy just comes naturally to us at that point. If we just follow the Spirit of God, yeah, this is life. This is easy. This is where I belong. When we start to stray from that, the opportunities come where, okay, this is a bigger trial or temptation than I needed to go through. I've got to put on joy here. I've got to choose joy. So it's important for us to stay in the Spirit if we want to enjoy the fruit of that Spirit. Go ahead and turn back to James. God's good, isn't He? Hallelujah. You know, I almost started laughing when she said that. He said, your kids are having seizures and throwing up and you're laughing about it? Yeah, because I knew what it was right away. Now, of course, there was sorrow in me because as a father, to know that your actions open the door to something that comes against your kids. I mean, that could easily have messed with me, but I had to rebuke those thoughts too. I had to say, no, I'm not taking that. I'm not taking that thought. And then I repented, got right before God, got back in line with His Spirit. And then it was easy. From a place of authority, I take authority over that. Boom, done. Simple as that. Amen. When trials come our way, we can't magnify the trial. If I'd sat there and broken down in the airport, and, you know, pastor's walking right next to me while all this is going on, he didn't have a clue any of it was happening. He didn't know. I didn't. That wasn't for him that I needed to take care of that as a Christian, as a believer, and know we can't always rely on somebody else's faith to get us through things. There's times that we do hook up with people. There's the prayer of agreement in the Scriptures for a reason. But God wants to see us stand on our own. You know, when kids learn how to walk, you don't want to have to carry them their whole lives. They learn to walk eventually on their own. God wants to see our faith. Why? Faith pleases God. Faith is the only way to please God. And so we have to grow our faith and get to the point where I can walk on my own. I can stand on my own two feet. And I did. I just acted according to Scripture, got to the other side of that storm. But we chose joy in that situation. My wife was laughing at home because, I mean, of course, everything's, you know, falling down around her. I've been gone for 2 weeks at this point. She's home with three kids and a puppy. So there's a giant laundry pile on the couch. The house is kind of a mess. And I mean, it was an exciting time, you know. And so she just said, she started laughing. She's like, "You're not going to believe this." Well, I did believe it because I knew exactly what happened to do it. And of course, the next time that something happened to our kids, I made sure to tell her, "Don't worry. I didn't buy anything I wasn't supposed to this time." You know, we disobey the leading of the Spirit. It makes it a whole lot more of an act of faith to have to choose joy if we disobey the leading. We just follow Him wherever He wants to take us. Whatever He wants to do in our lives, just follow after Him, seek after Him, and choosing joy will be easy. You know, the fish in the water, he doesn't have to work to enjoy his existence. He just exists. He just goes about his business. Little fish. That's us as Christians. So back here in James. Let me see. Where am I at here? Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. So we know it doesn't say if, it says when. So we know that we're going to fall into these temptations. We know that they're going to come our way, trials, tribulations. But just because, it's important for us to remember this if we want to stay in joy in these things, just because we may encounter trials, just because we may encounter tribulations, doesn't mean that we've lost an opportunity for joy, because we still come out victorious on the other end. You know, there's a verse in Hebrews chapter 4 that talks about, "For we have not a high priest that cannot sympathize with what we go through, because he went through what we went through, yet without sin." Jesus was tempted. He went through trials. The Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. The Spirit led him up there to be tempted of the devil. And in that time, he still chose joy. How do we know he chose joy? Because he never failed. He never faltered. So we know he stayed in joy no matter what was coming against him. So when you start going through things, don't think, "Well, there's no way I can get through this with joy. There's no way that there's enough joy in me to muster up to get through this." If Jesus could get through the temptation of the devil, yes, he was the Son of God, but he was also man on earth, and he had to choose to stay in joy just as much as we have to choose to stay in joy. But how did he do it? Because he knew the end from the beginning. As a child of God, you know the end from the beginning. The Bible says, "Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world." There's nothing, no temptation, no trial that can come against us that we aren't guaranteed to come through victoriously. And when you know that, you'd be just like Jesus on the boat. You take a nap. You just sit back, kick back, put your feet up and say, "Glory to God, I got this. God's got this, but I got this. I got the joy side of it. I'm just going to choose to be in joy in this situation." The New Living Translation said, "Troubles of any kind, of any kind." There's nothing that we can go through that excuses us from choosing joy. There's nothing that'll come our way that you know, God'll lay down, you know, and say, "Well, that is a big one, son. It's okay." There's nothing that's going to come our way that he says that on. He always expects us to choose joy in the situation. And we can. It's not just that he expects us to. He gives us the equipment to do it. Go ahead and turn to John chapter 16. John 16:33. It's good for us to be reminded to choose joy. So we could be... It's easy to get swallowed up in the affairs of life, but we know we've got the victory, we've got an answer, don't we? Amen. Amen. John chapter 16, verse 33. It says, "These things have I spoken to you," this is Jesus talking, "that in me you might have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer." Cheer and joy kind of go along together. "Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." You know, like I said earlier, when you know you've already won, it's easy to sit back and enjoy the ride. You know, the only reason that we're going to lose our joy in life is if we let somebody take it from us, is if we let a situation take it from us. You know we don't usually go around quoting people in the pulpit because people can fail, but the word never fails. It's why we use scriptures and not just pretty quotes from Ben Franklin or anything like that. But Eleanor Roosevelt said something that I just think is outstanding. She said, "No one can make you feel inferior without your consent." No one can make you feel inferior without your consent. That means that whatever we're going through, we choose to give that person the ability to take our joy from us. If it's a trial or a situation, we choose to let that situation, to let the devil steal our joy from us. Now that's my joy. Get your hands off of it, Satan. That's mine. I'm keeping that thing. Ha, ha, ha. And I put my joy on. And I put it on even thicker after that. You know, my parents recently, probably in the last few years, signed over a power of attorney to me on all their accounts. Why? Well, they're getting older, and, you know, financial wisdom says just to, they can trust me with it, of course. I'm not going to do anything I shouldn't with it. But, you know, so what does that give me, power of attorney? It gives me the ability to have full access to all their accounts, basically. Anything that they have, I have access now to go into according to the law and law of this land and the attorney. I can go in and act like them if I need to for whatever reason. There's too many Christians that are signing over power of attorney to their situations. They're saying, here you go, test and trial. Here you go, big bill that I can't afford to pay right now. Here you go. Just have access to my life. Steal everything from me. Take everything from me. That bill, you sign over power of attorney to it. You just let it take your joy. Let it take your peace at that point. No, we keep our joy and our peace. Don't give it to anyone. Don't give it to anything. You hold on to that. Hold on to it by faith if you have to. You may have the devil coming along. He's trying to rip that from you. He's trying to rip that joy, that peace, that comfort of knowing that you win over every situation. He tries and rip it from you. You just punch him in the face with the scripture. Say, devil, in the name of Jesus, you go. I win. You lose. I tell him all the time. I say, devil, did you ever read the book of Revelation? Did you see the end of it? That lake of fire, you're going to take a swim in. You just go ahead. That's where you're going. And I go to the end. I win. I'm going to the streets of heaven where they're paved with gold. That gold that you said I can't have right now, that's where I'm going. That's my life. That's who my God is. And you just remind him of what he doesn't have, what he forfeited. Put him in his place a little bit. Give him the scriptures. And then that's easy at that point to choose joy. And when you choose joy, how do you choose joy? Well, if you got to fake it till you make it, go for it. I remember somebody said that to me once when I was young, and I thought, what does that mean? And then I learned real quick what it meant. You just fake it till you make it. You do what you got to do. You put it on thick, and you don't live in the faking. Eventually, it starts to come to pass, but really fake it till you make it is better described as step out in faith, right? That when that bill comes to you in the mail, you look at that thing and you say, oh, well, naturally speaking, I don't have the money for this right now. So I have two options. I could either throw a little fit, put my head down on my desk and cry and say, oh, Lord, where am I going to get the money? How am I going to do this? What am I going to do, God? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Or I can lay that bill down on my desk and say, glory to God, in the name of Jesus, I call that bill paid. I don't take any thought over it again after that situation. Then I just laugh at that thing. Say, it's taunting me. It's looking at me, pointing at me. I laugh right back. Ha, Bill, you got nothing. If your name's Bill tonight, I'm sorry. It's nothing personal. I'm talking about a financial bill. I'm not laughing at you, Bill, whoever you are in this room. But you laugh at that thing. You point at that thing and you say, ha, I choose cheer. I choose joy. I choose joy over this situation. Glory to God. And you just start stirring yourself up. Paul told Timothy, stir yourself up. Sometimes we got to stir ourselves up in these things. You know, we come to church and a preacher stirs us up real good, and that's great. But have you ever stirred up a pot of soup? Eventually everything falls right back to the bottom again. You got to stir it up again. Then it falls back to the bottom. You got to stir it up again. Some Christians are only getting stirred one day a week, and then they're just letting everything burn at the bottom of the pot the rest of the week. And then they come back and wonder why the soup tastes like junk. Why? They're not stirring. Stir it up a little. You ever had burnt soup? It's horrible. It's not good. It's nasty stuff. I burned a big old pot of tomato soup at a youth convention one time, and nobody ever let me forget it after that. Because the bottom of that thing just had a little bit of tiny burn in it, but the whole soup was spoiled because I let that one little thing burn. You let one little thing in your life and you choose not to take joy in that situation, it'll start to reflect on the rest of your life. That one little thing, if I chose not to take joy over that bill, and I chose to let that thing reign in my life more than the Word of God, more than my victory as a Christian, eventually that would start to leak over into the other parts of my life. And you'd sense that. You'd see those things. So we choose joy. We choose joy. You know, Nehemiah 8:10 says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Doesn't say the somberness, the sorrow, or the pleading, or the tears, but the joy of the Lord is my strength. We could say it like this, joy is faith's food. If faith needs food to grow, right? So we've got the scriptures, that'll feed your faith. But joy will feed your faith just as much. That when you're trying to stand in faith over something, if you've got your faith out there and that's good and that's great and you're rejoicing over the scriptures, then you start rejoicing over the scriptures and say, glory to God. Glory to God. I win on this one. And you may have to start off, you may have to put it on at first. The joy of the Lord is my strength. 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 Yeah, the joy of the Lord is my strength. You just stir yourself up. That's meditating on the scriptures, of course, but that's what it is. You stir yourself up on these things. That's choosing joy. Choosing joy. Find a scripture about it that guarantees that you win. Camp on that fact that you stay in joy during this trial, during this tribulation. You know you'll get to the other side of it victorious. Praise the Lord. And then this last part here in James chapter 1. And we'll close with this. Flip back, because we left there. We're going to go back there. James chapter 1. In verse 4, it says, "But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." The Amplified version of this scripture, which I have here somewhere in my notes, says that you would be perfectly and fully developed with no defects, lacking in nothing. You know, the Christian that refuses to choose joy in the trial that they're going through is like a premature baby. You know, you get a preemie. And it's amazing what medical technology can do today and how early a child can be born and still survive. But even in those situations, without a miracle from God, those children generally have some issues for the rest of their life. The doctors will say this. They'll say, you know, well, if you were born premature, you're going to have lung and heart issues. You're going to have, you know, muscle issues and all these things. And there's a lot that medicine can do, but medicine's not God. God's the miracle worker. God is the only one that can fully restore whatever the devil took from us. But if we don't choose joy in the situations that we're going through, we're not letting patience, we're not letting our faith have its perfect work in our life. How does this apply to us? Well, when I choose to be in faith over something, that's working my faith. That's getting my faith built up to a point. And Vinny's not here tonight, so I can't use him as an example. But, you know, his arms, he worked them up to a point. Right? You've seen Vinny, you know he does that stuff for a living, or not for a living, but he does it and does it well. And he had to work himself up to a point though, right? You don't start, you know, I started lifting 10, actually these orange little 5-pound weights. I did. That's where I started. And I sent a picture to Pastor Mike and he laughed at me because he said, what are you lifting anyways? And I said, well, all I got are 5-pounders. And he said, you're kidding. And I said, no. And I sent him a picture and I had that thing right here. And so he gave me some heavier ones that helped me a little bit. But I had to work my way up to get some more endurance in me. Otherwise, all I could do was, I could do more than 5 pounds. But that was all I had at the time. So I was being faithful with what I had. But I had to work something out of me. And that while I'm working, eventually my endurance grew more. I could do more. I could go 10. I could go 15. I could go 20. I could go 25 and just keep going up from there. Why? Because I'm working that endurance. That's what our faith does. And when we look at it like that, that this is an opportunity, you know, people that enjoy to run, I'm not one of them, but there are people that run marathons and they actually enjoy running the marathons. They look forward to it. I'm friends with these people on Facebook that they run, they'll run a marathon and then the next day they'll go out for a 7-mile run. And I think to myself, are you nuts? What are you? Yeah. And they seem so happy about it. And I'm thinking, are you crazy? What are you doing? That's why are you running so much? Nobody's chasing you. It just doesn't compute for me. But there's people that they enjoy that. And good for them. And happy for them. Praise the Lord. You go run, runner. Glory to God. That's not me. But, and where was I going with all this? My goodness. What I mean is that we have to choose to enjoy the endurance. We have to choose to enjoy that they chose that this is something I'm going to enjoy. And when they made that choice, eventually enjoyment came. There was a day where they had to choose to set down that first foot and say, I'm going to be a runner after this point. And after that, the joy of running started taking them over. As a Christian, you're going through trial, you're going through test. I'm going to enjoy being a Christian. I'm going to enjoy going through this test or trial. When you set your foot down after that, it's a breeze. You just go on and you could keep in joy for the rest of it, and it doesn't have to be a workout for you to be there. It just comes because you've trained yourself to be at that point. You've taught yourself that this is joy because I win. I've got the victory over this situation. When we walk in faith, joy comes easy to us. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So we're going to live in joy. We're going to be joyful Christians. I'm not saying none of us aren't joyful Christians tonight, but there may come a trial or a test to you tomorrow. I don't know. You might go through something. Bible says you probably will go through something. So when it comes, we just stir ourselves up. I'm going to choose joy. Joy, Lord, is my strength. I'm going to get through this, go to the other side, and I'm going to laugh on it the whole way. Do you ever have those attacks start to fly at you, and you know, you just start laughing at that point? You know, all the things. Have you ever been there where it's something happens, and then something else happens, and then something else happens, and then that last thing happens, and you just sit back, what? And you realize, I see what this is right now. I got this, and then you just laugh at it. And what happens then? The joy of the Lord enters in. You know what? I'll close with this. I know I said I'd close with that earlier. I'm closing with this now. When we first moved into our house about a year and a half ago, we moved in and we had a little bit more expenses at the very start than we thought we would with some things we needed for the house. There were some more fees than we thought there were going to be. Nobody misled us or anything. We just didn't know. You know, we're first-time home buyers and all that. And so we had some appliances we needed to get to that we didn't think we would have to get at that point. And so here we are. We just moved into the house that God had for us. And it was really our dream house by all intents and purposes at that time. We've gotten bigger dreams since then. Our faith ought to always be growing, always reaching for more. As soon as we were in, we said, Lord, what's next? What's after this one? But we got in, and, you know, I'm sitting in my truck, and I had become aware of this need that we had that was, I think, about $1,200 at the time. And of course, when I call in money from God, I call in enough for to pay the bill and tithe it. So I make sure, you know, I'll do my computations and say, okay, I got to make sure I have enough to pay that bill, but then I need to tithe on top of it too. Because if you got a bill for $1,200 and you only get $1,200, you've got to tithe $120 of that and you're still short from the $1,200, right? So I make sure I call in enough to cover the whole thing. So I sat in my truck and I said, well, Lord, you just moved us into this place and we knew it would be a stretch for our faith. I didn't know it would be that much of a stretch that quickly. I thought I'd have a little bit more time. I thought, you know, before we had to start really believing God for things. But I said, all right, we're here. We're in it. Time to believe God. And so I got in my truck, did according to the scriptures and what we're taught in the church. You know, I called in the money, bound the hands of Satan over my money, commanded him to drop it, that it was mine, sent my angels out to go get the money, bring it in for me. And then I praised the Lord because I had the victory. And as I sat in my truck, those thoughts, that was a bigger thing than I ever had to believe for before that. Never had to believe for that much before. And as I'm sitting there, and I just started, I mean, thoughts are coming. Thoughts are coming. That's a trial. That's a temptation. Temptation to get into doubt, into fear. What are you going to do? Here you're in your house and you're going to lose it in a month. How are you going to handle this one? What are you going to do now? And as I'm sitting there in my truck, I just said, no, in the name of Jesus. And I grabbed my Bible and I'm sitting in front of my house and I just started laughing as loud as I possibly could. I mean, I gave it as much of a belly laugh as I could and I faked it. It hurt so bad I faked it. But I made sure I laughed that. I laughed right through that. And just then, somebody pulls up and hands me a card, and in that card is $1,500. Glory to God. Glory to God. An answer, just like that. God answered it. Why? I chose to stay in joy. And God moved on that person, and I'm sure that person got blessed for sowing a seed into my life, of course. But that's what we do as believers, isn't it? We're sensitive to the Spirit of God. We sow when He tells us to sow, and then we're blessed when He tells somebody else to sow into our life. So whenever somebody, when God's telling you to sow something, that might be an answer to somebody else's prayer. You're not just sowing seed for your own life. You're being the voice, the hand of God in their life as an example to them. But I had to choose joy. I had to choose to laugh, to say, no, this is great. This is exciting. Lord, this is wonderful. And at first I had to put it on, but then it came easy. Then it was, yeah, this is great. Ha ha, this is it. I got the money. The money's mine. Glory to God. And then the money just comes driving into my driveway. Just like that. Praise the Lord. We choose joy, we stay in faith, and we'll see the victory. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that it's a help to us. We'll be joy choosers, Lord. We'll choose that no matter what we're going through in life, we're gonna walk in joy. We're gonna walk in the word. And Lord, we thank you so much that you guarantee us the victory, that we come out on top every time, that you've got the best plans for us, and that we're the head, not the tail. We're above and not beneath. Father, that we're blessed coming in, blessed going out, and that you've got such good things for us in this life. In Jesus' name. And heads bowed and eyes closed. I just want to give an opportunity. I don't know everyone here. If you're in this place tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you an opportunity to make him Lord of your life tonight. Or if you need to rededicate to God your life to Jesus tonight, I want to give you a chance to do that. If that's you this evening, you need to either give your life to the Lord, rededicate to him, invite you to raise your hand. I said I don't know everybody here, but I think I do. And I think we're all walking in line with the word. Praise the Lord. So why don't we just join together right now? you can hook your faith up with mine, but we're just going to pray for Pastor Mike and Pastor Courtney real quick. Lord, we lift up Pastor Mike and Pastor Courtney to you, Father. We thank you so much that the blessing that they are to this church, to this flock, that they've given their lives for it. Father, we thank you that they have everything in this life that's a desire of their heart, everything in this life that they need to accomplish what you've called them to do. We thank you, Lord, for wisdom and revelation for them and the knowledge of you, that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened, that they would know what is the hope of your calling and what are the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints and what is the exceeding greatness of your power towards them, Father. Lord, we thank you that as they stretch forth their hand to minister, Father, that, Lord, that you would speak through them with boldness, Father, that every time that they go to preach, they would speak the oracles of God, that, Lord, they would receive revelation from heaven on the course of their ministry, on the course of their life, that, Father, they'd always be in your perfect will, and that in doing so, they would lead this congregation in the perfect will of God behind them. And, Lord, we just thank you that their whole family is blessed, that their children are blessed, Father. Lord, we thank you, Father, that they're helped. And Lord, as this week, as they rest or whatever, Father, we just thank you that they come back rejuvenated, ready to go wherever you want them to go. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Aren't you thankful for the word? Amen. God's good, isn't he? I've enjoyed being with you all tonight. Have a wonderful rest of your day. Enjoy tomorrow's warm weather again, and come back this weekend. Praise the Lord. You're dismissed. With your feet on the ground, your head in the cloud.